Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune into the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
Hey, your Money Briefing listeners, this is J.R. Whalen. Here at YMB, we're all about bringing you important personal finance and career news to help you make better decisions about your money. But we want to learn more about you. What are the biggest challenges you face in your household budget? If you're listening on Spotify, look for our poll under the episode description, or you can send us an email to ymb@wsj.com. That's ymb@wsj.com. Now, on to the show. Here's your money briefing for Thursday, November 16th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Many Americans who included buying a home as part of their American dream are facing a rude awakening. Amid mortgage rates inching toward 8% and a limited number of homes available, some have decided to dip into their savings for a new home and spend it elsewhere.
They're taking nicer vacations and putting money into houses and rentals where they never expected to stay, whether that means renovations or just decorations. But they're also saving and planning for the future in other ways.
We'll talk to Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Wolf after the break.
Rapid expansion?
We're ready.
Worker shortage?
We're good.
Anything can change the world of work.
A celebrity buys the company.
Depends on who it is. But relax, we've got ADP.
From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to take on the next anything.
It's more expensive to buy a house now than at any time in the past two decades. And that's caused some people to put off buying, not for months, but years. Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Wolf joins me. So, Rachel, how do new mortgage payments compare to the average apartment rent these days?
They are 52% more expensive. Pretty shocking. By some accounts, the worst it has ever been, higher even than the disconnect before the Great Recession. It is quite a lot, and people are increasingly deciding that buying just isn't worth it right now.
So why are prospective homebuyers so pessimistic about the housing market? What is it that's causing them to put off buying a home for such a long time?
The way would-be buyers described it to me is that the math isn't mathing. Numbers don't lie. And when they compare what it would cost to own the home that they currently rent versus how much they are paying in rent, or for those who are stuck in starter homes, the cost of taking out a new mortgage in order to trade up to something that would fit them better, they're recognizing that it's just not worth it.
Yeah, you mentioned starter homes. You spoke to people who bought starter homes a couple of years ago when the mortgage rates were down near 2%. What are they going through?
They are in a better position than renters because at least they own something, but they still feel trapped in a space that they had never intended to be forever.
So what does this mean for buying a home as part of the American dream?
It's really in question. A lot of people are having to rejigger their definitions of success away from homeownership as a pivotal milestone because it's just out of reach for so many. I spoke to a woman in Burlington, North Carolina, who was a homeowner in her early 30s. She initially followed the more traditional life path, bought a home with her then husband. In the past 20 years, though, she's sold the home, got a divorce, went back to school. She's now a professor, and she's stuck renting. She has a down payment fund that she's had to dip into repeatedly over recent years, first to fund a move for a new job, then to furnish her apartment, more recently to help with student loan repayments. And she's worried that she may never be a homeowner again, and she would never get to feel the sense of ownership and the deep roots to the community she was in that she had back when she did own a home.
And you spoke to people who have been saving for a house for a number of years, and now they realize, like you said, the math is not working out. What are they doing with the money that they had saved up?
people are beginning to spend that money elsewhere. They're taking nicer vacations and putting money into houses and rentals where they never expected to stay, whether that means renovations or just decorations. But they're also saving and planning for the future in other ways. They're contributing more heavily to college saving accounts for their kids. They're increasing their retirement contributions. They're trying to find other ways to make sure that they're in good financial shape, even if that doesn't include investing in a home.
If they're spending that money they had earmarked for a new home, does that mean they've given up?
It's hard to say whether people have decided that they are never going to own a home, but it is further and further out of reach. Some of the younger people I spoke to, they still hope that someday they'll be able to, but it's no longer on the horizon. It's perhaps more of a speck in the distance.
What's the broader picture here in terms of where homeownership fits into somebody's personal finances?
So what we've seen over the past couple of years is homes dramatically increasing in value in a very short span of time. That doesn't always happen. It's not always a guarantee that the home you buy is going to be worth so much more than when you bought it. But what a house is a forced savings vehicle. So it's forcing you to put aside money every single month in order to eventually be able to effectively live rent-free. And so that is what a much broader swath of the population is now missing out on. They don't have one of these key saving vehicles that their parents likely had a much easier time getting.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Wolf. And that's it for your Money Briefing. Today's show is produced by Ariana Osperu with supervising producer Melanie Roy. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Thanks for listening.
Technology can make the world better. At UST, we're building a future where people everywhere are empowered to live better lives.
It's transformation you can feel.
And you don't have to do it alone.
We believe in the power of technology to transform businesses and build a better world.